We are joined right now by the driver of the number 10 car for Stewart Haas Racing. He's got one win. He's got three top fives, 15 top tens this season. He reached the NASCAR playoffs for the second time in his career, would clinch a spot in the championship four with a win on Sunday. Can-Am 500 in Phoenix is Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Eric Almirola is my guest. Eric, great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Thanks for doing it. So it's Tuesday of the week of the second to last race of the season. Knowing everything that's riding on this race, are you able to treat this like any other week in the season, or does it feel like there's a little more juice and a little more energy surrounding this race?
There's definitely more juice, man. This is like game seven, of a seven-game series, and it's a must-win. You know, we've got to go. We've got to pay attention to every little detail, and every single thing matters, and we got to do whatever it takes to go win.
All right, so I mentioned it's the second time in your career you've been in the playoffs. How different does it feel this time as compared to the first time?
Well, I just feel like this time, we've got the cars and the speed in the cars, and our team is ready. I feel like we're ready to go and run for a championship, and we've got to win Phoenix first, and then we can go to Homestead and race for a championship. But I feel like we're capable. The last time we were in the playoffs, it was kind of like one of those deals where you make the playoffs and you're just kind of happy to be there. And we just weren't really ever a threat or a contender. But this year with Stewart Haas Racing and Smithfield as our sponsor and just everything coming together, we've got all the tools, all the resources, and we've got an incredible team. And we're not just happy to be here. We're contenders, and we want to go race for a championship.
Eric Almirola is my guest, and you've got that opportunity coming up. Let me get you to go back to Sunday in Texas. You were running in the top five when Joey Logano appeared to make a move down toward you. What did you see him doing, and then what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I stirred up some controversy there, didn't I? We were just racing hard and I had battled all day and got up to third and was in a really good position to capitalize on if there was an opportunity. With the first two cars, we were going to be in a good position to capitalize on that and maybe have a shot at winning the race. And, the track at Texas was, recently repaved, and we're going 200 miles an hour, and the groove that you have to kind of keep your car in is very narrow there. If you get out of that groove with the new pavement, the track is very slick, almost like ice, and you wreck. So we went down into turn three, and his car was wheel to wheel with mine. And if he was 4 feet one way or the other, it would have not been a non-issue, but we were exactly wheel to wheel. And when that happens with our race cars, it just affects the aerodynamics on the car so much that the car on the inside is extremely vulnerable and you just don't have any control of your car. Your car goes really loose and sideways and it's really hard to manage your car. So I was just frustrated and disappointed that given Joey's situation that he didn't cut me a break. I guess that was wrong of me to expect him to cut me a break, but I feel like if the roles were reversed, he would have expected the same out of me. So I guess, more than anything, I'm a competitor, and things didn't work out the way, I wanted them to. So when I got a camera and a microphone stuck in my face after the race, I spoke my mind.
Eric Almirola joining us. I really respect that response right there, and I can understand why you were hot. I think a lot of people can understand why you were hot. So how do you reconcile that? For instance, was that heat-of-the-moment stuff, and that was racing hard, and that'll happen, or is that something you file away? Is that something you're going to remember because you crossed the line?
I think it's yes. I think the answer is yes to all of that. Mm. I think as racers, what happens in the heat of the moment, certainly is usually a lot more escalated than Tuesday or Wednesday when you have time to kind of look back on it and reflect and then move on. And really at this point, I, I'm, I'm trying to move on. Like, I don't really care about Texas anymore. We went, we raced, we didn't win. I'm pissed we didn't win. So now all of our focus is shifted to Phoenix. We, you know, now we've got to go just be on kill mode going to Phoenix, and we've got to go there and we've got to win. We've got to bring our A game and let it all hang out and go do whatever it takes to win at Phoenix. And, you know, then we'll worry about Homestead when we get to Homestead.
Phoenix is Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. It's the Can-Am 500. Eric Almirola is the driver of the number 10. You know, Eric, you're having a huge year, and when you consider what you've been through, it's nothing short of remarkable. I say that because last year in the spring race at Kansas, you suffered a horrible accident, and you broke your back. Now, you've been in a lot of wrecks before as part of being a driver, but in an interview sometime after that crash, you told Jeff Gordon that after that, when you dropped your window net and you couldn't even get out of the car by yourself, I mean, that's a terrifying moment. What was it like to go through that?
Yeah, that was big, man. That was a bad day for me. And you know, wrecking a race car at 200 miles an hour usually hurts. You know, no matter how you do it, it usually hurts. But that day was very different. You know, I wrecked at Kansas there, and when the car went up in the air and came back down, I got a compression fracture in the T5 vertebrae in my spine. So yeah, I broke my back, and I had to sit out for 2 months out of the race car. And that for me was more painful than the actual broken back. You know, I realized at that very moment that I loved what I did as, you know, being a race car driver, and that it being taken away from me in the blink of an eye, you know, was hard for me to deal with. So I worked my butt off to do all the rehab stuff that my doctors advised me to do. You know, if they told me to do 10 reps of something twice a day, I did 15 reps, you know, four times a day. I did everything I could possibly do to speed up my recovery. You know, I bought every widget and gadget that was laser treatment and game ready stuff and whatever it was that said it would help speed up the healing. That's what I did to make sure that I could get back in a race car. But that was a scary moment there for a little while. I wasn't sure if I'd ever drive a race car again. And then to be able to battle back from that, and kind of, you know, get back in a race car and then have some success again, and then switch teams and go to Stuart Haas Racing, to where now I have, you know, the best equipment in the garage. It's been one heck of a year, and you know, I'm proud of what we've accomplished so far, but we've got two more races that we want to go win. And no matter what happens, it's been a great year and a successful year. But you know, as a competitor, you can see that big prize right in front of you, and you just want to go get it.
You know, it seems to me, to see the way you've come back from what you've come back from, it speaks to your mental toughness, it speaks to your physical toughness, but then you've got to get back in the car and do the work. Over the course of the season, you came back and you've had a number of looks at a win, but for a while you didn't break through, and you said that coming that close but not breaking through made you take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror. What was that experience like, and what was your takeaway?
Well, yeah, I think anytime that, you know, things don't go your way, you basically have two choices. You can make excuses and you can blame other people, or you can look at yourself and see how you contribute and how you have an effect on the outcome. And so for me, you know, going through the year and having fast race cars and being capable of winning five or six races this year, and for whatever reason it not happen, you know, I started to you know, do some soul searching, man, and look in the mirror and say, you know, what's going on? What am I not doing? How am I not contributing? How am I not being a good team leader? How am I not motivating my guys? How am I not executing when I need to? All of those things. You know, and finally, you know, persistence and patience finally paid off, and we were able to have a huge clutch victory at Talladega that propelled us into this round of the playoffs, where it's the last round, you know, going into the championship four at Homestead. So, That was timely and a very big win. But yeah, you're right. We've had probably five or six times this year that we've been close, but no cigar.
He is the driver of the number 10 car for Stewart Haas Racing. The win, 3 top fives, 15 top tens, reached the NASCAR playoffs for the second time in his career, and again, would clinch a spot in the championship four with a win on Sunday, the Can-Am 500 Phoenix, Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Eric, great job. Really nice to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing that. That's a really good interview. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you guys.
Listen, have a great weekend. Good luck. That's a really good interview.